Dela apostolska glava 21. želim da čitamo od 31. stiha do kraja ove glave. The Acts of the Holy Apostles, chapter 21. I desire that we read from the verse number 31 to the end of this chapter with the help of our Lord. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains, and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing, some another, among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, "Away with him!" And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" Who said, "Canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian which before these days madest an uproar and ledest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?" But Paul said, "I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people." And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with a hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, this far I desire that we read in our first reading with the help of our Lord. And now, let us bend our knees and in our hearts unite to pray and thank our Lord for his goodness and mercy. Heavenly Father, when we think that thou art praised, honored, and glorified, that thou art worshipped by the multitudes of the heavenly hosts, when we think, O Lord, that even the wonderfully created mighty angels cover their faces in the presence of thy holy face, when we think, O Lord, that the glory and honor of thy holy name fills the universe, O Father, we think also that thou art able in thy great goodness and mercy to create praises to thy holy name through the mouths of babes. So we approach in our prayer, in our weak faith, the throne of thy goodness and thy mercy, trusting in thy goodness and mercy, O Lord, and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us also, Lord, for thou art loving and merciful, Heavenly Father, to all those that come unto thee through the Savior. Gracious and loving Lord, grant us today that privilege and blessing to worship thee in spirit and in truth. to worship the old Father with love and gratitude, to honor and to reverence thee with that godly respect. And thou, Heavenly Father, grant us thy Spirit's guidance, thy word's instruction. Teach us, thou, O Lord, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, open thou our hearts and our minds to this light from heaven, thy blessed gospel. Holy Father, thou alone art God, and thou hast the power, the wisdom, the love, and the grace to make us worthy of thy calling, to make us faithful, O Lord, even to make us fruitful. We see ourselves very far, far from that perfect and wonderful example of the Heavenly Prince walking upon the face of this earth, despised and rejected. We are so far, O Heavenly Father, from that perfect example of perfect godliness, the only man that ever walked upon the face of this earth, pure, sinless. We are very far from those that followed in his steps, from the example and zeal and wisdom that thy Holy Spirit has displayed so wonderfully in the holy apostles. And O Lord, we perceive that we might be much more behind than we realize. But thou art God, God of love and mercy. Make us thou faithful, and make us also fruitful. Forgive us our many weaknesses, shortcomings, and mistakes. Forgive us our disobediences, Lord. Have mercy on us. And purify our thinking, our emotions, our affections. Grant us that precious, beautiful purity of heart. Heart that thou hast washed from sin with that pure and holy blood of that true Passover lamb, that through his blood, the blood of our blessed Redeemer, we may truly leave the land of slavery and walk in faithfulness, in obedience, with zeal toward that heavenly promised land, the mansion of peace and joy, that we may walk closely behind our blessed Redeemer that is leading his flock
the true shepherd that laid down his own life that we would live in him. Gracious Lord, make our soul free from vanity and pride, lust of the flesh, lust of eyes. Make us free from human fear, unbeliefs. Make us free from bitterness, anger, and vengeance. And thou, Lord, fill our hearts with thy Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, to make us truly thy faithful and beloved children of the Holy Covenant, to make us the followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the fellow believers of the holy apostles that in self-denial serve thee with gratitude and love, being a continual offering upon this holy altar of true faith, faith of the fathers, faith of the holy apostles and of the prophets, faith in that precious cornerstone, the one that thou, O Father, hast placed in Zion, our blessed Redeemer. O Lord God Almighty, may that Spirit of thine create that heavenly kingdom in our weak hearts. May the faith and faithfulness be our way of living. And thy pure heavenly love, O Lord, love that hates only sin and loves thee and thy commandments, thy precepts, thy ordinances. Love that is rejoicing in suffering, in self-denial, rejoicing in fellowship and unity of thy Spirit. That love that, O Heavenly Father, makes this bread of heaven the most delicious and delightful food for our souls. Gracious Lord, make us thou meek and humble as we walk led by thee toward that heavenly home, toward that eternal glory. Lord God Almighty, may that love and goodness of thine fill our hearts and our lives, so that we also bear the burdens of one another, that we also love one another, that we joyfully forgive, and that we continually strive to serve thee, knowing that that favor and that privilege of suffering for this high calling is not given to many, for many are called, but few are chosen. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we are thankful for this blessed word of thine, and for the salvation in Christ, and for the fellowship of thy Holy Spirit. today, O Father, we are also thankful for having visitors, the believers that are willing to share thy Christian love and the gospel and brotherly kindness with us. O Lord God Almighty, our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that thou grant us that true hospitality, so that we selflessly, in Christian love, may use this time together to encourage all that is thine, all that is good, all that is pleasing thee, O Lord, so that together in our hearts and in our souls we may praise thee and be strengthened, that this time that we have together may remain as a pleasant memory and a comfort to our souls. Holy Father, may the presence of thy Spirit, the presence of thy blessed Son, our glorious Redeemer, be in our midst and in our hearts. O Lord, thou hast given us so much. Make us faithful and wise stewards of thy goods, and thou bless the labor of our hands. Thou guide us in our prayers, in our praises, and thou open the treasure of thy holy word and fill our hearts, illuminate our minds. May this valley of the shadow of death become a field of our spiritual labor, a fruitful field. May every heart be, O Lord, as that good ground upon which thy seed, after it fell down under the dew of thy blessings, grew and brought forth abundant fruit. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray in our weakness, within the frame of our limited understanding and also limited time, O Lord. But we trust, O Father, that thou knowest all thy children, all thy people. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that today again thou lovingly and graciously display the beauty of thy holiness, the beauty of thy word, and the power of thy Spirit everywhere, wherever there are true seekers of thy truth. And that thou, O Heavenly Father, extend thy mighty and yet gentle hand, and thou lead each heart and each soul from darkness to thy glorious light, from sin to righteousness in Christ, from death to that new life. We also pray, O Heavenly Father, for thy friends, that thou give them strength and encouragement, that thou, Heavenly Father, multiply thy blessings upon them, so that by thy grace they may overcome their own selves that thy spirit may prevail in love and with godly fear, the due reverence for thy commandments and thy great and holy name, so that the old nature and sin may be defeated and mortified. Thou grant them true repentance, full conversion, new life in Christ, peace and joy of thy salvation. Gracious Lord, unite thy children's hearts and minds in thy spirit of love and peace, spirit of true holiness and righteousness. O Lord God Almighty, glorify thy holy Son, exalt his holy name. And thou, Heavenly Father, in every situation, in every place, do according to thy good and pleasant will, as long as the day of grace is going on. Let none of the redeemed ones be forsaken or forgotten. Let none of thine own forget thee, O Lord. Glorious Heavenly Father, in thee is all the wisdom. We desire not to rely upon our weak understanding, but we ask, O Lord, that thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, for thine is the kingdom, and power and glory forever. Amen.
Help of our Heavenly Father, and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I desire that we continue our reading from the Acts of the Holy Apostles, chapter 22. Kroz pomoć našeg nebeskog Oca, u ime Gospoda i Spasitelja našeg Isusa Hrista, želim da nastavimo naše čitanje iz dela apostolskih 22. glave i da pročitamo 22 stiha kroz Božju pomoć. The Acts of the Holy Apostles, chapter 22, I desire that we read from the beginning of this chapter, 22 verses. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey, and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground, and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. This far I desire that we read in our second reading this morning from the Word of God. And with the help of the Lord, and in my great weakness, I desired that we today share together by speaking and listening to the meaning, or about the meaning, of the verses that we just read. We might not be quite ready or capable of understanding all of that. May I ask just a few questions? Did any one of us ever receive any beating because we are believers? What if there will be an opportunity soon? Would we endeavor in our prayers to get ready for that? Or would we rather do everything possible to escape? I'm not saying this to put anyone down, just to make us aware where we really are, how ready we are, or how prepared to live and die for the Lord. And in my weak understanding, I accept the possibility of not being quite sure or quite right about this, but chances are that in the proportion of our readiness to live and die for the Lord is the strength and the beauty, the delight of our relationship with Him. Remember the words of our Lord and Savior that he said, whosoever will forsake everything, relatives, loved ones, home, land, just everything, whosoever will deny his own self will receive in this life as much, 100 times as much, and in the life to come, life everlasting. Well, for us that believe and trust that we did forsake the world and sin, and in self-denial surrendered to the loving care of our Savior, I would have the next question. Did we receive 100 times as much? If we did, are we aware of that? If we did not, why not? Did the promise of the Lord fail? Or perhaps we have not forsaken everything as we think we have? Could it be that we are so much bound to the things that we enjoy here as if those things were ours and not the Lord's? Our home is not our home, really. It's a dwelling place where we work and serve the Lord, at least it should be. The land, even the roads, the highways, the tools. Oh, this body in which we live. Health and strength, time and opportunities. All of that belong to the Lord. And whenever we use any of that for any other purpose but to serve the Lord, we are stealing. Is serving the Lord so difficult? He said that his commandments are not grievous. Somewhere in the Psalms we find that the word of God is the delight of my soul. It's wonderful to serve the Lord, but it's difficult to be divided, to have part of our heart. Well, perhaps that would be too much for some of us. Let's say some of our habits. Still devoted to ourselves, to that last and longest lasting idol that should be crushed in powder. So that we can really live and grow in Christ and serve Him. It's so wonderful, beloved. It's just beyond description to serve the Lord, to belong to our Heavenly Father, to be one in Christ, and to have His Spirit ruling in our hearts and ruling our lives. But it's wonderful when it is so, when He is really ruling in our hearts and our lives. Well, here we have an example of someone who really experienced that delight. You know, the love of our Lord Jesus Christ brought heaven down to us. You know that on that so-called Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter said to our Lord, Lord, it is good for us to be here. He knew not what he was talking about. But that awareness was there that it is so good to be alone with the Lord. Now, often we have an opportunity to experience that. That when we are with the Lord, we are often alone. There are so few that really want to serve the Lord that we are just about alone. And when we are together with the Lord, the joy of heaven is in our hearts. But there is also that godly sorrowing for we are weak. The Lord Himself said that the spirit is fervent and strong and zealous, but the flesh is weak. Paul the Apostle said that to live for him is Christ. He lived in Christ. But to die is a gain. So he knows not what to choose. For living here in the flesh and yet living and walking in Christ brings fruit to him. Brings fruit to the Lord. But he would be very glad to leave this body and go to be with the Lord. See what the difference that is in comparison with an average believer of our kind. We have a different attitude altogether. Now, saying this, in my weak heart, I don't wish to neglect the beauty of modesty. It's so impressive, it's so lovely, so lovable. The desire to learn and to know the will of the Lord and to do His will, that's just wonderful. But in order to move ahead, to follow the Lord more closely, we need to see ourselves the way we are. And hopefully, today, when we leave these benches and probably go to partake of the lunch, hopefully that we are going to be justified like the one that said, God, be merciful to me. I am exactly what I am. Hopefully that none of us will leave this place comparing ourselves with those that are in sin, those that live in misery of not knowing the Lord. The average attitude, I think, it is that we would like to live this life because of the difficulties of this life. It's hard to be surrounded by those that oppose the gospel. It's difficult to be despised, rejected, and not to have more than just a few, or maybe not having any friends, fellow believers, brothers and sisters, and so on. So we would like to go and be with the Lord, but usually, or in a great majority of cases, the human beings live this life through sickness and pain or accidents. So we are afraid of that.
I know I am. I don't like pain. I don't like suffering. I don't think any one of you enjoys that either. But for Paul the Apostle, with all the sufferings and persecutions and rejections and animosity that followed him so closely and surrounded him so many times, he said he knows not what to choose. For living here brings that blessed fruit. What a privilege to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, to suffer for being his own, to suffer like some, in a way, even though there is a great difference, but there is some similarity, or perhaps we can have a clearer perception of the delight of suffering for the Lord. When we think about the racers in a race, they run with all of their strength for vain glory, to receive the recognition as being number one, two, or three in that race. But there is a lot of suffering. They're perspiring and their muscles are aching, and often they faint before they reach the goal, and sometimes right after. And yet they do it so willingly, because they're guided by that scent, that feeling of how wonderful it's going to be recognized as number one, two, or three. But that suffering, you know. And yet, they're glad to do it. If we can see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ right ahead of us as the shepherd of his flock, as the one that bore the cross, the one that was willing to come from heaven, the mansions of love and peace, on the Mount of Transfiguration every day. Oh, that would be so wonderful. So what we see here in the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ living in Paul and ministering to the believers and proclaiming the gospel and witnessing to the truth and suffering. You know, beloved, when two or three of us suffer together, we are brought together closer in love and understanding. It's way beyond understanding how much the Father suffered in the sufferings of his Son on the cross. Somewhere in the law, I think it's in Leviticus somewhere, we read about the sacrifices, and there are many different, diverse sacrifices. And after so many sacrifices, there is another sacrifice. There was a sacrifice for purification, and then a sacrifice for sanctification, and then another one for dedication, and then another one, a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and then a burnt sacrifice. Everything goes to the Lord. Wonderful, great, lovely sacrifices, holy sacrifices. And finally, there is another sacrifice greater than all of the others that the ruler of the people should offer. And I wondered, it was quite a while ago, What is that sacrifice meaning? What is that offering? After all of that, everything goes to the Lord. Why is that additional sacrifice necessary? And then I thought that probably signified that the ruler above all rulers, the God of Sabaoth, Almighty Creator, suffered in everything that His Son suffered, and all of those that ever believed, His suffering with us. And that makes our suffering sweet and delightful. And we can plainly say that we are not worthy to suffer for Him. It's a great privilege. It's a gift of God's grace. So, the time is already expiring, and in my great weakness I was not able to go through the verses that we read, just use the whole passage as an example, an encouragement for us, and the guidance. Perhaps it would be good to mention that Paul was exposed to this suffering in a way, accepting the advice of James and the elders that were in Jerusalem. They wanted him to show that he also observes the law of the fathers. See, that law of the fathers was not exactly the law of God. It was only their traditional understanding or misunderstanding of the law that was given through Moses. And in a way, believing and trusting in that law after the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, and observing that law in any way, even in if it were able, if it were was possible for them to keep the law, which was not possible. You cannot wait and hope for the Savior that has come already. You cannot offer sacrifices once those sacrifices have been fulfilled in Christ. Actually, those that wanted to keep the law were in gross disobedience to God, because the law was pointing toward the coming of our Redeemer. But in their blindness, some people and some kind of believers of that day, that time, wanted to keep the law, and they were not keeping the law. The part of the law that they somehow gathered and assembled into their traditions and customs was actually a curse to them, you see. Because the law was ended with the last phrase, "Cursed be everyone that does not abide in everything that is written in the book of the law." And let's try the first commandment, then the second. Did anyone ever fulfill either one? Love the Lord thy God with every thought of thy mind, with thy whole heart and strength, with thy whole being. Was there ever a man that fulfilled the law? Do you know what it is to love God with every thought? No weaknesses. It's a perfect life. So the commandment was given to tell us
what kind of his children the Heavenly Father wants to have in that glorious kingdom of his Son. So we can say, are we fulfilling the commandments of the Lord the way we should? No. No, we do not. Then what is obedience? What is disobedience? Obedience is on our level and moving us toward the example of our Lord, willingness. See, according to the law, even if they did not commit any of the known sins, if they did not transgress the commandments of God, they still were commanded to offer sacrifice for sin every year, because none of the human beings ever was able to fulfill the commandment, that first one, great and lasting commandment, that commandment that is going to be the law in the kingdom of God. Everyone will love the Heavenly Father just in the same nature of love, same kind of love as He loves us. Then there will be perfect unity and harmony. But what is disobedience when we are not willing to strive and grow and belong to Him with all of our heart and mind, with our whole being? Well, beloved, I hope that someday we will have an opportunity to share more from these words. And I hope that, and pray also, that our Heavenly Father will feed our souls and grant us much more, according to the need of every soul, so that we all can serve Him, love Him, worship Him, and belong to Him, and be one in the spirit of love and peace, unity in holiness. We can serve Him and be grateful for that. And may, from all of our hearts, to our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, be glory and honor, thanks and praise forever.